Welcome to season 3 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big topics into small bites. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Neuzel, and I'm joined by my dear friend, women's health and fertility expert, naturopathic physician Kate Namas, to break down infertility, hormones, and the whole baby-making shebang. This week, let's talk about iron levels and the effect that they can have on pregnancy, complications for mama, complications for baby, and even complications for the baby past the neonatal period. So, what symptoms would a person expect to see with an iron deficiency?
Typical symptoms include fatigue, first and foremost, deep, deep bone fatigue, ice cravings, which we call pica, restless leg syndrome, which I often see in second and third trimester of pregnancy when women are iron deficient anemia, have iron deficiency anemia, headaches, exercise intolerance, which means when they exercise, they don't feel better, they're short of breath, they're overly fatigued, and exertional dyspnea, which is shortness of breath. And that's absolutely a sign in pregnancy of iron deficiency anemia, like that challenge of taking just a breath between every word and weakness.
Okay. Yeah. I always think of iron deficiency if people are coming to my office, just like drug out exhausted, right? Like flattened.
Yes.
So other than the obvious nutritional deficiency, what effect could this actually have on fertility and pregnancy?
Yeah. Well, in short, I just want to say it's very important to correct iron deficiency anemia in pregnancy, because just feeling horribly fatigued in pregnancy and not enjoying the pregnancy is enough.
Yeah.
However, there are other maternal outcomes. There's placental abruption, where the placenta breaks away from the uterine lining before it's time to go into labor. We don't want that.
That's an emergency.
Yes, that's an emergency. Preterm birth. And so those neonates, those babies born to anemic mothers, then have higher rates of fetal distress, admission to neonatal intensive care units, low birth weight, and what we call small for gestational age, so littler for their age. Also, severe postpartum hemorrhage, so bleeding postpartum, which then gives us increased risk for maternal need for transfusion.
And deep anemia.
Yes, exactly. And then worsening of the anemia. Maternal shock, and also maternal intensive care unit admission. So some pretty serious outcomes.
Yeah, those are really big things. I mean, those are not, it's not like, oh, it might not go well. You know, it's, those are big, big problems.
Right. And I'd like to note for all of those that the worse your anemia is, the more likely you are to have one of those outcomes.
That makes sense. So are there any risks for children and mothers with anemia after the neonatal period?
There are, yeah. So anemia was associated with increased risk of ASD, autism spectrum disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and intellectual disabilities. So that does not mean it's causative. It doesn't mean that if you have iron deficiency anemia in pregnancy, your baby will have these things, but it is associated with an increased risk of those three.
And I mean, that's pretty profound, right? Like, we're talking about a nutritional deficiency in the mother going into and during the pregnancy that's affecting her child, you know, years down the road and potentially for their whole life. That's
right. Their brain development.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So when you have anemia, don't let a doctor say, oh, just keep taking your iron, it'll get better. If it's not getting better, knock on the door again. Say, I need more support.
Yes, for sure. So it sounds like all around, anemia in mothers is something we want to avoid at all costs. I do point out some difficulties around testing and standards for iron deficiency, especially in pregnancy. So generally, when we're looking at iron levels, we look at the red blood cells and whether or not they are within normal limits in terms of size, in terms of the amount of iron that they're carrying, that sort of thing. And we also look at long-term iron storage in the form of ferritin. It's really obvious to tell when people are outside of this range, but there's a lot of questions about whether the normal range for ferritin is actually a good measure of iron status for women. So currently the normal range goes from somewhere around 15, depending on your lab, to somewhere around 315. That's a really broad range, right? And so a woman who's normal at a ferritin of 15 is very different from a woman who's normal at a ferritin of 315, right? Obviously, they have very different body stores. It's difficult to say if there's a different risk profile for women within that normal range, because that research, I mean, we haven't ever broken it down really in that granular level. Also, researchers have pointed out that the data from women during pregnancy and also from children is especially lacking, because most of the research in this area was done 30 or more years ago, which in research terms is ancient, right? Like, that's so far beyond obsolete, it's not even funny. So in my practice, I would consider adding extra iron supplements for women who are on the lower end of ferritin levels, even if red blood cells looked normal, because there's such a huge demand for new blood, new red blood cells, and new oxygen carrying capacity during pregnancy, that I really want to make sure that we're not like hovering around the lower end of that range.
Absolutely. And I would say, after talking to multiple hematologists, that hematologists would agree that a ferritin is a necessary lab to run. And we should actually be looking at the ferritin just as much as that hemoglobin hematocrit when deciding how much iron someone needs and if they qualify for iron infusions. So I have been telling my clients for 15 years to add a ferritin on to their prenatal panel. And if they do get diagnosed with iron deficiency anemia in pregnancy by their OB-GYN or midwife, I will also encourage to add a ferritin, because like you said, if the ferritin's nice, like 75 or 100, that's a different situation than a woman with anemia and also a ferritin of 4 or a ferritin of 10. That's an emergency situation, in my opinion. As far as let's get those levels up really fast, because she has no stores left to build those new red blood cells.
And so you're a fan of iron infusions as well, I take it.
I'm such a fan of iron infusions. You can get iron infusions and it will correct the anemia much more swiftly. You will feel better immediately. And I'm just going to say, on a personal note, as a person who has suffered from iron deficiency anemia, I have pica, and well, I don't now. And within 24 hours of getting an iron infusion, my obsessive desire to eat ice went away. And that is correlated in the research and the data. So it just works so much faster. And if you're pregnant and you're already fatigued and you can correct that anemia quickly with an iron infusion and protect your baby's brain, I am all for it.
Absolutely. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. Is there an issue with iron and men's fertility? We've talked about women and pregnancy outcomes. What about men?
Yeah, absolutely. So interestingly, iron and also copper have this kind of double-edged sword effect for men. Too low levels are a problem, but also too high levels are a problem. And they affect sperm parameters. So excess or deficiency of either element may lead to defective spermatogenesis, reduced libido, and oxidative damage to the testicular tissue and spermatozoa, which ultimately we're talking fertility impairment, and that's not what we want, right? Oxidative damage near developing germ cells is not good. So it is important to look at every detail with fertility, and especially because of the limited time window, right? And that includes iron levels. And even if those are considered clinically normal by the red blood cells, but maybe not optimal by the ferritin, it's important to take that seriously. So, Dr. Kate, thank you. Thank you for sharing this with us.
Yes, thank you so much. And I'd just like to add at the end, ideally, you correct your anemia before trying to conceive. That's the optimal window. Check it in that preconception window. Make sure you have robust, nice iron stores via that ferritin and that you're not anemic going into pregnancy. So it's not something you have to correct right away.
Yep, that makes sense, because it's so much harder once you're already building a baby and all the blood cells that go with it.
Exactly. Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening today and sharing your time with us. If you like this show, please follow and maybe even leave a review. Or like and subscribe if you happen to be watching on YouTube. Visit NamesND, NamesND.com, or to healthwiththat.com for more information about Drs. Kate and me, Dr. Amy.